One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University. And we're back. I'm an author, psychologist, and speaker. Every week we talk about how to love yourself, others, and higher nature. How to improve your life in your relationships, your self-esteem, your work life, and everything else about yourself that you want to improve. We've been having some great guest lecturers for our summer series. But today I'm going to go back to talk about a very interesting and important topic. Something that affects us every day. And it is the power of positive habits. How to win big. Now, we hear of negative habits, people that smoke a lot, drink, don't exercise, eat the wrong foods, and of course, addictions, people that are tied up in drug addictions, sex addictions, gambling addictions. So there's two sides of that. But the positive side of it is something that Glasser, one of the famous psychologists, talks about as positive addiction, being positively addicted or connected to activities that help you, health-wise, psychologically, emotionally, meditation, exercise, creativity, spirituality, being with people, nature, animals, or children, and something that can lead to a positive life. So basically creating positive habits. Now, elements of this are, first of all, lightheartedness, a sense of play, whether it's actual physical activity that you'd like to do, running, playing a sport, mountain climbing, rock climbing, maybe working on your car, cooking, playing a musical instrument, writing, anything that's fun for you, it's lighthearted, it's play, can be this idea of positive addiction, something that you do for fun and also that gives you a pleasure and also that can help you improve your life. At the same time, on the opposite end, you have a certain determination, a certain persistence in this activity. You keep doing it because you enjoy it and you keep pursuing it and becoming better at it, studying more about it, whether it's being a musical person or a scientist or a teacher. Also, it deals with something higher, often mental or spiritual benefits. You want to create meaning, maybe creativity. If you're an artist, you want to create something that other people will appreciate, that will have a lasting benefit. And also with this kind of addiction, positive addiction, you're good at it. You study it, you become better at it, you practice. And they say that it takes about 10,000 hours of practice to develop mastery in a discipline, whether it's athletics or science or teaching or writing. And the important thing also is that you don't criticize yourself. In this activity that you choose, whatever it is, it's something that you accept. You feel better about yourself while you're doing it, instead of criticizing yourself. Now, a similar related concept to the positive addiction is called flow. And this is from a psychologist named Mihaly, a very famous psychologist, who wrote a book on this idea that there's a state of mind in which we're very much in the what we call the zone. There are peak moments. We lose track of time. We lose track of being ourselves. We're no longer self-conscious. You may have heard of what's called the runner's high. We start to run and you just forget everything about yourself. You lose track of time and it's a joyous feeling. People also have this feeling when they're listening to music or meditating or being in nature, animals or children, making love, being of service to others. So there are many ways that you can create this so-called flow feeling. And it's almost as if you don't exist anymore. You lose track of yourself, your so-called self-consciousness. And they've actually done studies that there's actually great benefits to this idea of flow in terms of performance. Executives who have flow, this being in the zone energy, are often 500% more productive. Snipers, those that shoot during military times, often learn 300% faster when they're in this flow state. And they say that creativity is increased by up to 700% when you're in this free-flowing flow state in which you're totally connected to your activity. Also, there's happiness and inner peace, kind of a sense of you can overcome any challenge when you're in this positive flow state. Athletes have it many times in sports as well. Now, biologically, we look at this flow state and we see that there are certain elements that happen biologically. There's something called the prefrontal cortex in our brain that deals with rational thinking. So we have less of this. There's a downregulation of the prefrontal cortex because we're less self-conscious. We're less critical about ourselves. We're more engaged in and absorbed in that activity, whatever we're doing. Also, there's more of dopamine, the reward center in our brain, that makes us feel pleasurable and joyful when we're engaged in this activity. Also, when we look at our ability to hold information, research shows that we can hold about 110 bits of information. Typically, when we talk to someone in a conversation, we use up about 60 bits. So pretty much, we're not able to focus on other stuff because we're so focused on the activity we're doing. And that's what happens when you're in flow. You don't worry about your bills you got to pay, your fight with your spouse, your job problems, any other concerns. You just engage in that activity, the physical activity, the mental activity, whatever it is that's giving you pleasure. Maybe worshiping in a spiritual sense. Meditation, even cooking. It can be something as simple as cooking. Some people are artists in the kitchen, and they invest themselves and they just let themselves flow, creating that delicious souffle or baked food that they're making. Now, in terms of flow, one thing that's very important is to look at the challenge that you have versus your resources. If, for example, you have a high challenge and low resources, you're going to have stress because you don't know if you can accomplish this new goal or this new activity. If you have low resource, like you don't have much ability to do it, and there's low challenge, you're probably going to be what's called apathetic. You don't really care. I'm not that good at this, whatever it is, and I'm not really interested in it anyways. The ideal state is when you have a high sense of challenge and a high level of resource or ability. So I want to climb this mountain, and I'm good at it. I've been studying how to do this. I want to play this great piano piece, classical music. I've been practicing it, studying it, and I'm also good at it. So that's the ideal state. When you're in the flow state, when you have a high level of challenge and also high level of resource or ability to accomplish a challenge, that's the peak idea. That's the peak moment. So let's take a look at this. So let's say you want to develop flow. You want to develop these positive habits, whatever it might be, like getting up in the morning and exercising, eating right, meditation, spiritual practice, picking up a hobby, some kind of interest, a sport that you would love. Being with animals, or maybe training an animal. I recently got a beautiful little golden retriever, a puppy, 3 months old. And it's very lovely, except it likes to bite. It's one of those biting dogs. So we're trying to train it how to not bite and how to, you know, be basically unbiting kind of dog. So that takes a little bit of time and energy. But that can be a great experience, you know, dealing with animals, flowing with their energy. So first of all, you want to be completely involved in the activity. Eliminate distractions. Many times we have our cell phones, our pads. We're always trying to check email and text and phone calls. So that takes us away from whatever that activity we want to do. Maybe it's gardening or maybe it's dealing with people, communication. So we want to put away your cell phones and other things. You need at least 15 to 20 minutes to get yourself in that flow state. Where there's exercise, think of like if you're going to get an exercise program, start 15, 20 minutes a day, or maybe 3 days a week, and then work up to more of it. Also, you want to monitor your emotional state. You might be angry, you might be sad. So you want to first maybe do something to get you out of that state before you enter the activity, whether it's exercise, meditation, reading an inspirational book, or looking on YouTube and finding a funny video. Or maybe you're tired, you need to sleep a little bit, eat, relax yourself before you get into the activity. The other thing that can improve flow is changing the routine in your life. So instead of going to work the same day, go a different route to work, or read a new kind of book, or try a new restaurant, make a new friend. So do something different, because many times we get into routine, we make love in the same way, we go to work in the same way, we have the same kind of food, but that can get us in a rut. So to develop flow, we want to develop kind of a out-of-the-box thinking, a creative nature, something that takes us out of the ordinary life and puts us into this flowing state. Now, usually people think of flow as an individual thing. For example, I'm a rock climber, I'm a runner, I do this on my own, but also there's something called group flow, where people in a group setting can actually create a cohesive sense of unity, and they work together. We've all heard of the fourth quarter comeback in sports, where the whole team is somehow playing amazing out of their minds, and they come back and amazingly win against maybe a superior team, because the whole team is in sync. They're in this flow state, where everything they do, every basket, every goal is able to score. And even in the corporate world, there actually are team building exercises where corporate people in business can actually develop this cohesion, this flow energy. And one of the exercises is called the power of yes. Because many times people come up with an idea and the other person says, well, yeah, but it's going to cost too much. It's impractical. We tried that before. And that hinders creativity and hinders spontaneity. So an exercise that you can actually practice is called yes and. So you can practice this with a friend, and they say something maybe a little bit outrageous or ridiculous, but the other person says yes, and they actually build spontaneity. So Roger, my producer, I want to help you. I want you to help me with this exercise here. This is called yes, and. So I'm going to say a few phrases. I want you to kind of say a yes, and build upon it. Are you ready, Reggie?
Sure.
Let's do this. Okay. Reggie, there's a blue elephant in the room.
Yes, and.
Oh, no, Reggie, you got to say something more. You got to add to that.
Okay. All right.
You have to say yes, and it's getting bigger every day.
Okay.
All right, let's try that again.
Right.
Reggie, there's a pink eye in your head.
Yes, and there's more where that came from.
You're getting pinker every day, Reggie, and pretty soon you're going to be all pink, and we're not going to know what to do with you.
Yes, and then I'll consider my mission accomplished.
Okay. Reggie, I don't know who's crazier, me or you for this, but we're definitely being very spontaneous. And see, the difference is that many times people get into a negation. You know, they say, yes, but, or I don't think it's going to, you know, be the right thing. And they stop themselves. So this is a flow idea. So practice it with your friends and people that you know. Say something that's funny. You know, there's blue cheese on the moon or something. And then see how if you guys can build a little story out of it. Create a little improvisational segment. So that's a way to develop a little bit of flow. Let's talk a little bit about our practical things. How do we develop these positive habits in our daily life? Because many times we have negative habits. We get up too late. We procrastinate. We might chew our nails. We might drink or smoke too much. Maybe we're addicted to some drugs. So to break these bad habits and develop positive habits, we need to start by looking at what's called macro versus micro goals. Macro goals are big goals. For example, I want to lose 30 pounds in 6 months. I want to reduce my smoking from 3 packs to 1 pack a day in the next 2 months. Micro goals are those little things that you do to get to those bigger goals. And they could be as small as preparing something. For example, let's say you want to start going to the gym. You might want to go 3 days a week, but maybe you don't feel like it. You know, maybe you have a little extra weight and you don't want to get out of bed in the morning to do it. So what you can do is the night before is put your gym clothes on a chair next to you in the room. So you will actually look at the gym clothes in the morning and that'll kind of remind you and trigger you. You know, I'll give it a try. I'm going to go work out. There's one psychologist actually wanted to floss more and he didn't really floss. So he decided, okay, I'm going to put the floss next to the toothpaste every morning. So when I see it, I'm going to, you know, kind of see that and trigger the idea I'm going to floss. So even just a simple little thing like that, a little preparation cue can help to trigger your desire, motivation to actually do the activity, whatever it is you're trying to do. The other thing, a way to develop positive habits is called to emotionalize the habit. Add an emotional positive element to it. So again, exercising, visualize your new body you're going to have, attractive, healthy, you know, fit in certain kind of clothes, maybe have a bathing suit you can wear on the beach, and feel the joy that comes from that, the confidence, and mentally visualize that. So you become emotionalized to that particular new habit or activity you want to do, and that encourages you. It brings you motivation. It inspires you. Another thing that can help you with eliminating bad habits and acquiring good habits is something called acceptance with awareness. They did studies on people that smoke cigarettes. And for example, they smoke 2 packs a day, for example, and they're trying to lower that to 1 pack and then eventually to a few cigarettes and then maybe quitting. Many times it doesn't work as well if you tell a person, okay, I want you to reduce your smoking by X amount at a certain period of time. What does work better is to say, look, keep smoking the same number you're smoking now, 1 pack a day, whatever it is, except this time I want you to keep a journal and write down every time you smoke a cigarette, how many cigarettes you smoked, how did you feel about it, and just keep that diary. And many times people that do that actually smoke 50% less than others that don't do that because now they're not pressuring themselves to quit. So there's not that motivation that works against them, but they're aware of what they're doing. So they actually see themselves smoking and they might say, well, this is kind of disgusting and I'm hurting my health. So they actually start to reduce it by themselves without even you telling them. So it's a very interesting technique, awareness with acceptance. Because when we don't accept ourselves, when we fight back, there's the equal pressure of the other part of our mind that says, no, but I'm used to smoking and I feel pleasure from it, or it relaxes me, or eliminates stress. So you have a battle. But when you accept what you have, your current situation, and you're more aware of it, then that triggers the other side of your mind that says, wait a minute, I want to quit this habit. I want to lose the negative side of the health problems I have. The next one is very important. To maintain a positive habit, you need to forgive what I call your go back. Your go back is when you actually go back on your diet. You go back on your sobriety. You go back on eliminating procrastination. And you may make a mistake. Maybe you fall back. You have a moment of weakness. It's very important that you forgive yourself for that, because if you don't, you're going to tie yourself to the negativity of the past, the weakness that you had before, which will likely trigger the same addiction or bad habit to happen again. They did studies with people that are on diets, and when they think they blew their diet, they end up eating 50% more than if they didn't think that. For example, they said, well, I just made a little mistake. I'm going to get back on my diet. It's okay. Versus, you know, I screwed up my diet. I'm always going to be overweight. They're likely to eat 50% more. So forgiving yourself is a key, because you forgive yourself, you cut the rope from the past, from the weakness that you had, from, you know, feeling inferior that I can never change, and you start to develop more self-confidence and more self-ability, and that moves you toward the new goal that you want to do, whether it's losing weight or quitting some bad habits or developing positive habits. The other thing that's important to recognize is what I call the energy pool. We all have certain amounts of energy for certain activities. We have energy for physical activity, for mental activity, for entertainment. And there are times when we are tired, we exhaust certain of our pools. For example, we work too much, we're tired in a mental way, so we need to maybe go out and exercise, do some gardening, play with animals, whatever it might be. Or there are certain times when we're tired of mental activity or physical activity and we want to have some entertainment, something fun. Or we're tired of entertainment. Sometimes people get overwhelmed with a lot of YouTube and Netflix and other kind of TV shows, and their mind becomes overly excited. So they need to maybe put that away and meditate, walk into nature, sit quietly by a stream. read, think, and basically move away from that. So we have these different pools. So the key is to be aware of when your energy is tired and depleted, and then change the pool into a different area to refresh yourself. Another thing that's important is to catch yourself doing things right instead of doing things wrong. What we call our strengths instead of our weaknesses. Many times we're focusing on our weaknesses. You know, I talk too much. I don't talk enough. I'm not good with people. I'm too shy. I'm a procrastinator. I don't finish what I start. Whatever it might be, I'm not good with details. I'm not good with numbers. As opposed to saying, well, wait a minute. I am good with intuition or being creative. Maybe I'm good with people in certain situations. I'm good with my hands. I have other talents. I'm emotionally receptive to others. I'm a good listener. So the key is to focus on your strengths, your positive abilities, because that gives you more confidence, more motivation to keep improving. Now, of course, you do want to attend to some of your weaknesses and areas you want to improve in. But at the same time, you want to focus 80% of your time at least on enhancing your strengths and abilities, because that's going to help you actually overcome your weaknesses, because now you have more inner strength and confidence and self-esteem to say, no, I'm not going to do that bad activity, whether it's spending too much or gambling or yielding to any kind of addictions that you may have or bad habits. And they say that 70% of professionals who use their strengths are actually more engaged and influential at work. So many times it's opposite. You know, you're criticized at work for making a mistake on some kind of paperwork or some other item, and that hurts your self-esteem. Where the key is to reward and reinforce people at work and other situations when they're doing things right, their abilities and their talents. And finally, to build positive habits, you want to have gratitude. Be grateful for everything that you have in your life, whether it's your life itself, friends or family, maybe your work, maybe other things in your life that you're grateful for. And if you may not have anything grateful for, think of something you could be grateful for, something in the future, maybe an experience in life, traveling, something you want to accomplish, leaving something behind. We all can feel gratitude for something in life. Maybe it's a higher spiritual connection. So by developing these positive habits, you develop the idea of flow, positive addiction, and it overcomes any negative addictions we might have or negative bad habits or so-called weaknesses. So we start to overwhelm ourselves with positivity so that our negativities diminish and eventually vanish to a small degree. Now, we're always going to have maybe negative things in life, maybe negative people, some circumstances, and sometimes we do go back and make a mistake. But most of the time, if we focus on our positive growth, on our positive habits, we can definitely win big and accomplish a lot in life. And that really is the purpose of our Love University, is to get you guys the tools and the educational ability in a practical way to live life better, happier, more successful, and also to help others too, because we want to definitely build a community here. And we're going to have some live events coming up in the fall where I'm going to be working and talking about my new books, and we're going to have some interactive fun activities in relationships and love. So I want you guys to write into us and tell us your interest and if you want to participate in what we're doing. You can write to us at lovetype4u@aol.com. That's LOVETYPE, the number 4, letter U at AOL.com. Call us at 310-226-8090. And also our website is loveuniversity.love, where we have our blog and other interesting things. And we definitely love to hear from you. And the idea is to spread love. Spread love without expectation. And the love, again, can be with yourself, others, and a higher nature. So again, I hope that you've grown something very positive today and practical in your life that you can apply. And whatever bad habit you have or whatever good habit you want to develop, realize that you can start today. Start small, build it up slowly and step by step until you have something great in your life. This has been Dr. Alex Avila. So it's time now to put away your books and your pens, your notepads. And Love University is now recessed. Until next time.